Well, greetings and salutations, one and all, to another fun-filled episode of the Career Retrospectives. I'm just kidding. It's Career Retrospectives right here on the Supervision Network. I'm joined by my two incredible friends, Kyle and Mike. What's going on, guys?
What's up, guys?
Yo, yo. Here we are.
Yes, here we are. We're back again, and as the title of our podcast suggests, alludes to whatever. We spun the wheel last week, for those of you who don't know, and I landed on Kyle's pick, Boston's Corporate America. This is I forget the year that it came out, but it basically, we spun the wheel, landed on Kyle, and basically we said, time to talk about Boston, shall we? So let's get to it, shall we? Kyle, I mean, as someone who's not a big, I'm not a big Boston fan, but I enjoy their music and only know a good handful of songs. What could you tell the good people about Boston? Not the city, but the band.
Yeah, well, we don't talk about the city here. However, Boston is, you know, been one of my all-time favorites, you know, ever since childhood. My dad's a massive Boston fan, like huge, huge fan. So I've always been growing up with their music around. This album in particular, I have a bit of a soft spot for nostalgia purposes of, you know, this came out in 2002. I remember going with my dad to Walmart the day it came out to buy the CD. And, you know, we listened to it for quite a while after that. But, I mean, you know, I've seen them six times maybe. Met them multiple times as well at those shows. Great people all around. So, I mean, talk about an underrated band, underappreciated. Like, yeah, they get mentioned first. You know, More Than a Feeling, massive song, rock and roll band. A lot of hits from that first record, couple after that. But really, Tom Scholz does not get enough appreciation as a guitarist, as a sound engineer. I mean, the dude essentially wrote and recorded everything minus the vocals on just about every Boston album. The guy's a genius, perfectionist to the core. So that's why it always takes years between records to come out. This was their second to last release. Their last one came out years after that with a couple re-recorded songs from this record. But, ready to go to the track list, we can get into that.
Sure, give me 1 second. Here we go. Hold on. Here we go. Yep, good.
All right. I mean, this is kind of a weird time for the band with this album here. It's come, my phone fell, comes from a time where they're kind of a bit of a rough patch with, you know, certain members, vocalist changing. The album prior to this one, Walk On, didn't have any songs featuring Brad Delp, their lead singer. Replaced him with someone else, Fran Cosmo. Pretty okay vocalist, but this one saw the return of Brad Delp on a few songs, but also sharing vocals with some other vocalists. You know, Cosmo's still in the band. Female vocalist added, Kimberly. She's pretty decent, interesting layer added to the band there. But I mean, starting off with I Had a Good Time gave me very high hopes for this record when first hearing it. This is one of my all-time favorite Boston tracks. It has the classic Boston tone to it, that guitar tone. No one else has ever matched that tone. That is the Tom Scholz Boston tone. No one else has done it since. I love that main riff on this. It's so simple, which for a Boston track is pretty rare. Usually he has a little more complex riffs going on, but this one, it's so simple, but it works really well. The harmonies on this one, exceptional. It really manages to blend that early 2000s style with their classic sound from decades prior. Really like that false ending that it has on here. Perfect track. This is really what Boston in 2002 should have been. And then it kind of goes to Stare Out Your Window, which on first hearing, it really took me off guard. You know, this is not even written by Tom Scholz, which is interesting, but it really shows. The electronic drums, which were present on I Had a Good Time, are very present here. The entire album is heavy on the electronic drums pretty much exclusively, which is one of the, you know, gripes I have with it, and their follow-up to it, those stuck around. The vocals on the song, though, are good. Generally, with a Boston song, you're going to have great vocals. Unfortunately, this song doesn't really sound like Boston. It sounds more like a just those standard early 2000s pop rock songs. It really lacked that guitar tone too. It had a couple of guitars like pushed way in the background in like the pre-chorus, and then the chorus had like some just plain chords of that tone a bit. It's a catchy song. Has some couple like bass grooves that do well in the background. Peaceful, enjoyable listen. That is a 7 for me. It's still a good song. It's just not what I expect from them. Then you get to possibly one of the most interesting and strange songs in Boston's discography, with Corporate America, the title track from the record. And this is probably nostalgia speaking for me. Completely nostalgia, and I get that. To me personally, this is a 10. I can see why people would not like this track. I can 100% see it. I actually really love the constantly like galloping guitar that goes on through this. The urgent delivery of the lyrics, I think, works really well. It has some of the more intense vocals that the band has put out. And I just really like the atmosphere on it. I think it's an underrated gem. I totally get why some people wouldn't like this one or jive with it. I loved it as a kid. Like I said, the nostalgia on that might be clouding it a bit, but I absolutely adore this track. Love it. But then we get to the worst song, one of the two worst songs, With You. This is a straight 4. This is just not my style of music. It's not up to Boston quality. It really shows that Tom Scholz did not write this one. This is entirely Kimberly on this. She's a good singer. She has a good voice. You know, live, she was great. But it's pretty boring. There's a guitar solo thrown in here that does not fit in at all. Just kind of randomly feels shoehorned in. Like, feels like Tom Scholz just got bored recording it. It was like, screw it, we're throwing on the Boston toning it. Lay down a little solo in the middle of this. Not great. Also, this just sounds like Sheryl Crow to me. This would fit right in on any of like a Sheryl Crow album from this time. Not great. This is one of the ones that got re-recorded for the album after this, which I think it actually worked better on the album following this one. I think that's actually the superior version of the song, which is the only one I think that about. But it has a catchy main guitar riff on it. The verses leave a bit to be desired. The chorus, though, pretty solid. It's the pre-chorus lead-in's really well done really well. It's a 7 out of 10 for me. Pretty standard, good song. And then the other worst song of the album with Turn It Off. This was a weird, almost an attempt at like soft 90s grunge. 1, too late for that. 2, not done well at all. Just not good. Does not work. Even the chorus on this is not good. I think it's one of Boston's weakest choruses in their whole discography. It has a pretty cool organ part, but it's done way too late. And it's way too short. I needed way more of that to do anything. Because once that comes in, I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. That's really cool. But a few seconds later, it's done, and then the song's over. So not great. Totally not my thing. And then Crying, it's only a slight step up. It's a 5 for me. It's it just sounds like Oasis to me. Never been a fan of that sound at all. The bass on this does some like cool frills throughout. It's lyrically real uneventful. Not my style. Again, there's a guitar solo on this that doesn't feel like it fits. It's a good solo. It's a well-done solo, actually, just not for this song. And if we've noticed a trend here with the writers and the songs that are not good, there might be a reason for that. Every song that Tom Scholz has not been the writer of, or at least primary writer of, has not been great. Which brings me to Didn't Mean to Fall in Love, which is, again, only a slight step up from the one before it. This is a 6 for me. It's an okay song. It's not bad by any means. There's some cool elements to it. I think it builds throughout relatively well. There's this weird, interesting, almost like Latin vibe to like some of the guitar licks that are thrown on in there, and that's just not my style of playing. It does have the organ section, which I think that's a good addition to the track. It adds that Boston feel that was missing from quite a few of the songs, leading to one of the other best songs of the record. 10 out of 10 on You Gave Up on Love. This is another one they redid for the album following it. Don't know why they would do that. This is perfect as is. Vocally, favorite song on the record. Kills it. Multiple vocalists going on here. The epic guitar swell intro works incredibly well, which was cut from the re-recorded version, which is the one on Spotify, which is ridiculous. Either way, soaring chorus on this. The song has everything I want from a Boston song. Absolutely incredible. 10 out of 10. Should have ended the album here. But we have Living For You live. I hate when bands do this, when they take a live recording of a previous song from a previous record and throw it on as an official track on an album. This could have been a bonus track. It's dumb. I will say, having said that, it's the superior version of the song. It's a fine ballad. It's an enjoyable listen. It's a 7 for me. It doesn't really add or take away from the album, but it's just a gripe I have where you add a live track of an existing song. It just doesn't make sense. But that said, it's good. I think it's the superior version. It's the one I choose to listen to over the studio version from the previous record. With that said, this album is an insane mixed bag of quality for me. Everything, again, like I said, that Tom Scholz did on here, great, awesome. Some of the tracks on here I would put up with some of their best work. Like I Had a Good Time, You Gave Up on Love, absolutely incredible songs. Stare Out Your Window, it's okay. I see what they were going for on it with tracks like that, but it has some absolute turds on here that I would put with their worst songs, which I'm surprised that Tom Scholz, being the perfectionist he is, put out there. It's probably the reason it's not on streaming services. I know there's some disputes with record companies, and he just decided it wasn't worth it to deal with it. So, I mean, there you have it. For me, it's a 6.5 out of 10. It doesn't hold up as well as, you know, I was hoping it would have to me, outside of probably like 3 or 4 tracks that I go back to very frequently. Other than that, the rest just doesn't hold up. Sounds very dated for the time that it was released. It's noticeable that the drums are all electronic drums throughout the entire thing, especially that snare sound. It's not great, but it's dated. It's a decent Boston album. It's better than their last effort. So 6.5.
All right, you heard here first, a 6.5 from Q himself. I'm going to go next, Mike. That's okay with you, bud. Oh, hold on one sec. Here we go. All right, Mike, here we go. All right, I'm going to take over for number two spot here. My background with Boston is I feel like the songs that Kyle listed as like their bigger hits off their debut album and maybe one or two songs after that as well, like they get played to death on corporate level classic rock radio stations. So my enjoyment of Boston has been kind of like hills and valleys over the many years I've been alive, and I've always enjoyed their music, but I don't want to be over indicted with More Than a Feeling or a rock and roll band. I'm not saying they're bad songs by any stretch of the imagination. I just think that they could be played much like More Than a Feeling is, I feel like it's beat to death at this point. And it's a great song. I just wish it wasn't played so much. And this is coming from a guy who actually enjoys the song and several like long play and foreplay. It's just, I'm not super familiar with the rest of their catalog as to the extent that Kyle is. So going into this, I was very cautiously optimistic, one might say. I was very intrigued by what I heard. You said this was their second to last album, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you, because I wasn't sure about that. I mean,
last if we did one was in like 2014 or 2013.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. So that's over 10 years ago now that they've finished making new music. So that just kind of tells you something right there where the band is at too. I mean, I'm sure they kill live though. I'd be very curious to see them live. But excuse me. So going into this one though, I was cautiously optimistic, and I have to tell you, my dear friend, I was very, when this was on the wheel, I was like, all right, it's a Boston album. I'm not super familiar with it, but let's give it a shot. So let me just preface by what I'm saying is this. I'm in a very, very, very similar vein as Kyle, but maybe not to the same extent going either way, good or bad. So I'll explain about that in a second. But I had a good time. I feel like this is your standard if you're looking for a regular Boston track, this is the one I would gravitate towards the most. Completely agree with Kyle on that. So I'm not quite as high as a 10 out of 10, but I would give it like an 8 out of 10, 8.5 out of 10 on that one, maybe give or take depending on the day. But it's a very good track. I would add it to a playlist and no problem whatsoever. Stare Out Your Window. This is where the album kind of gets like, already we're in track 2 and I'm like, all right, what's happening? Stare Out Your Window, it's like a 6, maybe a 7. Could go up to a 7.25 depending on the day, but it's there, but it's not great. Now, Corporate America, the title track. For those of you who have listened to us and known to our show for any period of time, I love title tracks. I'm a huge title track sucker. Some of my favorite songs of all time are title tracks. This is not good. This is not a good title track, unfortunately. I wish it was. I really wish it was. Because when I saw, oh, there's a title track, I gravitated towards it. Sure enough, I was like, yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. This is not the best song on the album. You know, it's like saying, you know, hey, here's some bread, but no butter. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, what are you gonna do? No jam. You know what I mean? Ridiculous. But needless to say, the title track, Corporate America, I'm actually surprised that Tom Scholz was the guy who wrote it, because it's just not a great title track, unfortunately. I mean, because when I think of a title track, I think of the song that defines what the album is or could be to that extent. And this one just didn't, lyrically it did it, but like musically, I agree with Kyle, the electronic drums kind of killed it for me and was not that great of a track. With you, and then we go down like, you said a 4, I'm saying like a 3.5 for this one, give or take. I'm that's being generous. With You by Kim, written by Kimberly Dam. Listen, this is just, unfortunately, I was the first time I listened to it, I'm like, all right, I could see why some people might like it. But the more I listened to it, I skipped it over more and more. I just did not, I could not gravitate towards this one too much. I'm saying a 3, maybe a 3.5. Someone, better track, better start, mainly because Tom Scholz is writing it. And this, as someone who doesn't listen to Boston on a daily basis, this might be why he is Boston, I guess you could say. Like, he is the band Boston. If only he wrote more on this record, who could say? But I'm not. But needless to say, it's a very good. It's good. I like it. Could go up to, excuse me, 6.5. Could go up to a 7, give or take, depending on the day. Turn It Off, written by A. Cosmo. I wanted to turn this off the moment I heard those first 3 seconds. This is a 2. Like, Turn It Off, more like, yes, please do it. Get it off. I don't want to hear it again. Just not my favorite track on here whatsoever. I mean, the do what the title says, Turn It Off. Crying, it's not an Aerosmith cover. Don't worry. But again, similar vein to Turn It Off. Not the best. I'm saying like a 4, maybe 4.5 on this one. Didn't mean to fall in love. I actually like this one a lot more than I thought. More listens to it, I'm like, this is actually pretty good. This is a solid five, could go up to a 6 out of 10. And You Gave Up on Love, written by Tom Scholz himself. Before getting to the last track, You Gave Up on Love, really nice song. I like it a lot. Nothing too crazy, nothing too special, but I'm sitting about a 7, could go up to a 7.5 out of 10 for that one too. Not too bad. Not bad, but not great at the same time, but very good. And I didn't realize this until Kyle said it, but Living For You Live, I could not agree with you more there, buddy. I'm not a fan when like bands put like a track listing out and then, oh, here's a previous song or an upcoming song or teasing a track, whatever, as a track on as a member of the track listing songs. It's ridiculous. But needless to say, though, it's there. I wish it wasn't, but that's just me. It doesn't really add anything or subtract anything from the album, so it's kind of just there. But no, it is what it is. But overall, I'm sitting, it's funny. as someone who's not the biggest, or actually not the biggest, but not the most familiar with Boston as a band, this album was, you said it was 2002? Yeah, 2002. This album, a unique standout of its time, and because in 2002, like, rock and roll was not like the direct center of the cultural moment until like as much as like pop punk was, or like an alternative rock. So Boston put out a new album, you're like, all right, well, where's it gonna go? And this is a very middle of the road, very middle of the, I'm saying like a 4.75 being very generous, and on a 5 on a good day. So I'm saying like between a 4.5 and a 5 out of 10 for Boston's corporate America. It was, if you've never heard of the band, if you never heard of the band Boston, get on it. But if you never heard this band, any songs about the band, definitely check out their first album first and then dive into their career slowly, if you know what I mean. I know for a fact that Mike absolutely 110% loved this album. And he's muted. Give him a second.
Hey, my bad. I forgot to.
You're good. Myself. Anyways, go ahead. Mike loved this record to death.
Well, so it's interesting. I don't know if it's that we've listened to such bad music in succession, or if it's just like,
well, Mike, last week was very good. We established that.
I can't recall. That's what I say when I'm being questioned by the police. But I don't know. Like, it's interesting. I kind of came at this record as like hating a lot of things, being okay with some of the things, ultimately left feeling confused, like that there really wasn't a consistent feel throughout the album, but at the same time liking that. It left me feeling very like uncertain of like what I took away. So I'll go ahead and start with their pros. This album is all over the place in the worst way. And that might be where I give it some credit. You know, it does a lot of different things. It's got a lot of different feels. Like, Kyle, you were looking through my window and you read every note I wrote, and I want to know why you did that. And I want justice to be served, because I'm going to sound like you my body with like a lot of like your comments and things you said, words you said. Like, viewers are going to be mad because they're going to be like, Mike's just repeating what Kyle said.
I mean, it might be more impressive that me and you were agreeing on something for once.
Right. It's wild. So I just, something needs to be done about this. But like, it's got all kinds of different feels. It's got the grunge. It's got the electro pop. It's got the alternative rock. It's got the folky kind of ballad with that one song written by, Kimberly, I think it was. Everything in between. So like, it really does change directions, which does kind of make for an interesting listen to like, what's coming next? Is it going to be this theatrical kind of like Pink Floydian wall feel to like this area? Or is it going to be like this folk ballad? Is it going to be, in a couple instances, the vocals shine and remind you of the emotion this band can capture. Like, that's some pros. But then we come to our cons. You know, the voice of Brad Delp is completely ditched in this album. In able to do the heavy lifting in favor of those like kind of underwhelming group singing, strange theatrical stuff, which, like, if you like Kyle said, if you like that, then you're in for a treat. If you don't, then like you're kind of left scratching your head, like, is this Boston, or is this just some like experimental kind of like song, like, you know, almost, you know, just kind of really makes you wonder. Also, it just at times, like I said, the con is also that it's all over the place. You don't feel like the consistency really captures Boston, but that it feels like it's for the time trying to kind of capitalize on a couple sounds that are going on through, in the 2000s. Also, that production, it was praised for production values according to, you know, Wikipedia, but I just can't see that. The production, those drums, the guitars feel like buried at times. They feel the tone feels like doesn't have that same kind of richness to it at, you know, in through a lot of these songs. So let's go straight into it. I had a good time. This is a 6 out of 10. I just, you know, first thing I noticed is that stock drum feeling, that overall just minimal depth of sound. It just needed a change of pace. guitar songwriting wise. It's just the guitar riff is simple, which is it's good, but it's also just not impressive. It overall just leaves you a little bit more to be desired. 6 out of 10. And then it's actually one of my favorite songs on the album, weirdly enough, that I like don't think it's a favorite song in the sense that I love the song and then I'm going to add it to a playlist, but it kind of like reminds me like the Goo Goo Dolls or Soul Asylum or like maybe even REM. It has that like 90s alternative rock song with an 80s feel, which is weird. It's just, you know, maybe I say 90s, I mean late 90s. So it kind of sounds like 2000, but not really though. This whole production doesn't feel like a 2000s album. It feels like something made in the early 90s. I'm just incredibly shocked that this was released then. Overall, I like that chorus. It does suffer from that repetitive songwriting, you know, like to some degree. Overall, I did enjoy this song in comparison to some of the others coming up. So Corporate America, this is weird. This is just, it reminds me of something like Mr. Roboto from the Styx, or even maybe like something off of like, you know, like Pink Floyd's The Wall or whatever, but like just weird though. I don't like the, like, once again, that synth 80s atmosphere is it's really not giving you that power of the way their classic sound would capture you. It just kind of seems like it's experimenting, which is, you know, whatever. But I mean, it's not horrible. It was an interesting listen. It's actually very atmospheric in the sense when you're driving and listening to it, it kind of has some cool things going on, layers going on. So I gave it a 6, which is higher than I expected to give it. I feel, you know, that I wasn't really hating this album. I was actually appreciative of this album over like some of the stuff we previously listened to. So with you, I gave it a 7. I know everybody's hoping on this one, but I actually like this folky kind of ballad here. It really wasn't that bad, and I like her voice, and I wanted to hear Delp sing like this, but not her. Overall, I really just felt like it had a nice classic feel to it. I did hate those random harmonized guitars that come out of nowhere. I literally wrote the notes here. It feels out of place, unnecessary. Overall, I didn't hate this song, and I thought it was actually kind of a sincere, kind of touching song. So 7 out of 10. Wow. Hot take. Then we go to someone, 6 out of 10. This is just, you know, you get the classic prog keyboard introduction here. A little bit of that stale 80s some drum, those drums. I can't believe it. It just really... it's all over the place. It's just, you know, the chorus, the initial verse and chorus don't move on from what they bring. It just kind of repeats, and decently catchy quality to it, but it just kind of repeats. So I gave that like a 5, actually, now that I look at it, it's 5. It just didn't really do much else. Another 5, Turn It Off. This was just awful here. Vocals really feel like they're going for something grunge parody. It's just got sluggish song quality to it. You know, if they basically were able to just change some of the elements of this, the vocals, I just don't understand how they felt this was something that they could turn in as a song and incorporate it into the feel of this album. And when he's yelling "Turn It Off" and "Turn It Off," I was also yelling "Turn It Off." So yeah, like, it was brutal in that manner, but 5 out of 10. Not brutal as in something that I just felt like didn't have any substance at all. It just confused and you know, all that kind of stuff. So Crying, it's a 6 out of 10. I literally wrote, sounds like something Oasis would have put out, and it has a Goo Goo Dolls acoustic style, but it doesn't suit this band's talents. That is a theme on this album. It's like they took all of the things that they are great at and were like, all right, we're gonna put those on a shelf somewhere, and we're like, all right, we want to try this out, try our hand at some of this stuff, and like, if it don't work, then it don't work. Too many ideas coming in from different places on this album. Felt like there wasn't one mind. It was felt like many different you know, ideas of what to go for. You know, yeah, so that's a 6. Didn't Mean to Fall in Love. This is a four. It's actually my least favorite song on it because they reused that riff from earlier on. That riff, it was in, I think it might have been Corporate America, maybe, or no, it was one of the songs up there. They reused the riff again. It's just got a weird acoustic guitar, like Kyle was saying. It just fits, you know, like the Spanish kind of guitar. It just feels like somebody's like, throw it in. Do it, you know, like no one will notice that it's totally out of place, and you know, artificial drums are starting to beat me to death here. It just really was like wearing me away. So 4 out of 10. You Gave Up on Love. You know, I like the soaring vocals, decent chorus, stock crap drums once again. It just like literally sounds like they left a mistake in at one point in this song where there's like plucking starts and it just stops, and then like. It came in again and it made sense this time, but it almost felt like they, like Kyle saying, they may have cut something and it didn't get done correct or whatever. I don't know. It sounded pretty bad overall. 5 out of 10. And then Living for You, this is just a 6. I like the melody and the catchiness overall, but overall it's stale in its delivery of tone because it's a live song. And if you don't know the song, which I didn't know the song, listening to a live version of it, that is, in my opinion, like a good, it's an okay song, but it's not really doing anything that's going to leave you like wowed. So I'm 6. So I gave this a 5.5 out of 10. You are the villain, JT. You know, I am. Has that ever happened? Well, yeah. Yeah, it has happened in the, like, very, you know, metal stuff that, like, we all know. Like, JT hears one growl and he is ready to give it a 2.
Zero.
Outside of the metal hardcore stuff, I don't think you've ever been a villain. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I'll be here all year. I'll be here all year doing this podcast with everyone.
He's entering his villain chapter this year.
Yeah.
It's art.
I'm coming for you, Swift.
No.
I'm just kidding. To be fair, though, I do give every listen a generous, like, an open-minded listen through. And this one was just, like, very all over the place, very much weird and a lot of forgettable stuff. Like, nothing that I would go back to or remember, you know what I mean? Except, like, the first song. So there's that. That's everything, guys. We're good, right?
Right, and do we have to spin the wheel? Are we doing another?
Are there any new releases coming out, Kyle?
There's no new release till like March.
Well, let's see. Let's see what we can do. Hold on. So let's have Kyle spin the wheel. Yeah. Next week, you know, you can do it, right? You got it there?
Yep.
All right, 1 second. Hold on. There we go. Perfect. There we go. So whenever you're ready, you can spin the wheel, and we'll see where it lands.
All right, come on. 3 for 3. Let's go.
3 for 3. It's funny. Let's see what happens. What is it? Oh, my God. How about that? All right. Yeah. This is a very interesting album. Actually, I've never listened to it all the way through, so I'm very curious to listen to it all the way through.
Well, they mentioned a Bon Jovi album in comparison to this album being... like, I don't know what album it was. I have to look back on the Wikipedia page.
Bon Jovi?
Yeah, I can't remember the... Yeah, I'll look at it later. But it was like something... The fans of Boston were like, this is in comparison... Or some reviewers in comparison to a bad Bon Jovi album to this Boston album.
Oh, interesting. Was it Fantano?
But no. It was just like Rolling Stone or one of these other...
Oh, like some magazine or something. Okay, gotcha.
Magazine,
yeah. I wasn't sure what it was.
Well, this one came out in 2007.
Yeah, this one came out in 2007. Or it's actually, it's Bon Jovi Goes Country.
Oh, God.
No. Already he's disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
No, but like,
is it better than that last thing he put out?
Oh, it's much better. Right. I'm being serious. I go back to this one a lot more than I do. Even like Slippery When Wet or New Jersey, I'm being honest with you. So, right. You'll have to experience it on your own. I'm very curious. There's some bangers on there. I will say that of like rock of 2007. You'll see when we get there. But yeah, ultimately, guys, we want to thank you for watching, listening. However, you enjoy us tonight. So next week will be Bon Jovi's Lost Highway. You're in for a treat, guys. I promise. But no, that is our next album for next week as I'm slowly getting more and more sick. excuse me. Sorry about that. We want to thank you for watching us and having you enjoy tonight. Kyle, Q&A podcast is not back yet, right?
Nope, not yet.
Okay. Well, whenever it comes back, please let the good folk know and we'll be there. So no worries. But but for all of us here, the Super View Show's career perspectives, stay safe, take care, and we'll see you guys next week.
God bless.
God bless.